How you feeling? Feel all right?
That means it's time to roll, baby.
We rolling! Yeah!
All night.
Y'all feel like that?
Hi, I'm Michael Morgan, and welcome to the first ever episode of Striking Ability, made possible by my good friends over there at Audio Boo. It's a pilot, if you will, looking at MMA and kickboxing. It's not going to be perfect, so feel free to let me know your thoughts via Twitter. I know you will. You can catch me at Mike Morgan MMA. Let's get this show started. My guests this week are Paul Daly, Burt Watson, Gogan Saki, Daniel Sam, and the DFC's Tam Khan. First up, here's Saki.
I never begin to make trouble with my opponents, you know. I'm always relaxed. I know I train hard in the ring. Before the fight, you can talk, you can do, but in the ring, you need to stay in the ring. You cannot go or run out the ring. So I know in the ring is war, you know. That's why I don't talk before the fight, trash talks. And sometimes I say something, but it's nothing for me, you know. But Gita was talking after Japan. Yeah, I don't lose the fight, and I don't this, I don't that, I don't this. I think, fuck it, you know. You get your rematch, and we're going to fight, and you can show it again. So why every time this bullshit? And one time he said in the interview that I am afraid to fight him because the time with the Showtime, Simon Rich asked me after Badarari to fight against Daniel Gita, and he want me pay some money, and I want more money, and that's why the fight was not happening, you know? So. And after this, he said, yeah, Saki, he don't want to fight me. He's angry and this and that. So now he get this rematch, and I show him again, but this time better, you know? So that's why I was a little bit angry. That's why I say that. So, but no hard feelings. It's finished for me. And for him, it's of course not finished. If he want the rematch again, he can get the rematch in Romania, no problem, in Turkey, whatever you want. So I'm a fighter, I'm a born fighter. So if I need to fight in Romania, I need to fight, you know? So we are open. He fight, he punch after the action, he only punch with left, and he have injury by his elbow, you say, you know? So I don't care if you have, now they say he have, after that he can fight good anymore. I don't care. I knock him out and I destroy him, and that was what I want, you know. So I fight also with one broken arm with Alistair Overeem. Did you hear that I say, yeah, I have a broken arm? I never say that, because you're a fighter. You go, if you have pain, then you need to stop. Don't fight anymore. Then they give me a red card or something. If it's something wrong what I did, then they give me that, you know. Don't fight and after the fight cry my elbow or my this, my that. But he don't say that to me, you know. I don't hear that he say that, but people say that now on the internet. I hear from my friends, you know, they have injury, broken arm. So I don't care. I win the fight. Broken arm, broken neck. So I understand what has happened with him. I fight different. This time I don't give his distance, you know. So one time I give his distance, you see he can kick easy. And one time I make pressure, you see he can do nothing. He need to make boxing with me, you know. And that was his biggest mistake, I think. So when he punched in the 12 combination, I punched him maybe 10 times, and one time he gave a hook and I hit him, you know. So that was the moment where I'm waiting for, you know. Sammy Shield, it's a long story, man. He's a five-time champion, and his style, nobody like his style of fighting, you know. So if I am gonna fight him, I would do everything to destroy him too, you know. So the first time that I fight him, I lose this fight. But for me, I don't lose this fight if I see the fight back. And this time I have one round extra to show everybody who Saki is, that, like what I say, small heavyweight, K1 can beat a big heavyweight like Sam. It's possible, you know. And people always say it's not possible, but I like it when people say that. They give me more motivation, you know, to show everybody that I can do that. So I have 3 rounds now, but I hope I will do it also in 2 rounds. I will try to knock him out, you know. So it's a little bit difficult than Daniel Vita, because Daniel Vita have the good height for me. And Sam is, I think, 15 centimeter taller. So we will do this thing. I can't say now any things, you know, but when the fight start, then we can see what happened. And if you see the fight against the Gita, nobody say Gita go knockout, you know. But my feeling was good, and I know before the fight I feel good that I'm gonna knock him out, you know. So it's time for me now. It's time for Saki. Saki time. Everybody say always no, Saki is smart, weight, no, not good power, only speed, only this. Now I have speed, I have power, I have everything. And yeah, like what they say, I'm ready for everybody.
If the milk turns out to be sour, I ain't the kind of pussy to drink it. Do you know what I mean?
My next guest is the current UK heavyweight Muay Thai champion, ranked number 1 in his division, Daniel Sam. Signed to Glory, he takes on Anderson Silva, no, the other Anderson Silva, on the forthcoming Glory 9.
My name is Daniel Sam, Muay Thai fighter based in the UK. Ringmasters champion 2007, British champion and amateur European champion as well. I teach classes at Muay Thai Masters Academy, the Lion's Den Gym, and also at Fight for Peace. I fight out of Muay Thai Masters Academy and Mike's Gym in Amsterdam.
Okay, for those who are pretty sharp-eared, you'd notice that there's a bit of a fatigue in my voice, and that's just because we've finished a heavy session here at Lion's Den. Just tell me, Daniel, why is it that you work so hard at this gym?
Heavy session? That was a medium session. We push ourselves hard, and that's the way I was always taught to train, you know, to go to your limits, your absolute limit every time you're training. So there's always ways that we can push yourself harder, and each session, you know, no matter how you fit you're getting, we can always find ways to, you know, push you harder. So the training's got to be hard, because the fight game is not easy. You know, the fight game is seriously hard, so the training's got to be harder. That's why we do it.
Okay, you say the training has to be harder. I mean, that kind of like neatly segues into your training. You actually train alongside the famed Mike's Gym. Just talk through why that is like a level above everyone else, because everyone seems to train there. I mean, Saki trains there. Who else trains there? Semtex trains there. I mean, there's a whole host of stars that actually are under Mike's tutelage. What's so special about Mike's Gym?
Well, first of all, Mike is he's a world-class trainer, he's one of the best there is. You know, he's got a brilliant eye for training, brilliant eye for fighting and fight skills. It's a good place to train, there's lots of heavyweights over there. You know, the skill level is, you know, it's another world over there training. Plus the actual facilities as well, you know, they're top draw. So they've got, you know, they've got it all there. They've got the training facilities, they've got the eye from Mike, they've got good coaches over there. And then they've got lots of good sparring. You've got Saki over there, you've got Badahari's there. No matter what weight you are, 70 kilos, they've got Myrtle's there, Koshenko's there, you know, there's just so many people that you can train with. So on a sparring session, it doesn't matter who you turn to, you know, you're going to have a good solid hard round. So it's really good to be over there.
Again, those of you who are listening who are pretty keen-eyed, you'd have noticed that Daniel Sam was on the bill for the London card, Glory. That kind of kick-started your Glory career. Just tell me, I mean, what's so special about fighting on Glory?
Well, Glory is the top, you know, it's the Champions League of kick fighting. So, you know, it's the best show to be on around the world. They've got the best fighters, you know, they're building a great promotion show, you know, in Europe, throughout Asia and Japan, and now they're, you know, breaking into the US market. So they've got the best fighters, you know, they've got the best production, you know, it's a professional outfit, it's the place to be.
Okay, so you faced Singh Jaideep on the London card. What have you taken away from that fight? Because it looks, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe you are overly critical of yourself, but it looked as though you were a little bit disappointed with your performance.
I'm a very self-critical person, you know. I'm always looking for ways I can improve. There was good points to take from the performance. Also, you know, there's a lot to learn from it. It's my first time fighting on such a big show. But me personally, you know, I know there's so much more I can give to the fans. There's so much more I can give in terms of skill level. You know, I always want to be able to show everything I've got. So I wasn't entirely happy with the fight. Although I got the win, it was a good win for me. You know, pushed me further on to fighting on a future glory show. So that was the most important thing. But, you know, for me, I know there's a lot more that I can demonstrate in terms of my skill level to the world. So that's what I want to do for in the future.
You've been matched now on the Glory New York card, Glory 9. Before we get to Glory 9, you are actually moving up the rankings quite quickly, considering, you know, you've only just entered Glory. Is there any people on that kind of... is there anybody on the ranking that you've got your eye on?
Everyone, you know, as you said, moving up the ranking, I'm ranked, I think, 18 or 19 at the moment. So for me, I'm looking up the ranking and seeing everyone on there as a potential opponent, a potential target. So that's what I'm aiming for. You know, the guys that are above me, I've seen them fight before. You know, a few of them, the legends on the rankings. You know, I've been following them and studying them for years. You know, the likes of Peter Ertz, Saki, Sami Schilt, and all the other guys that are on there. You know, I've been watching their fights for a number of years and seeing what they do, what makes them at that level. So for me, that's what I'm aiming for. So there's no one on that top list that I'm not, you know, shying away from. You know, I'm not a young guy, so I've only got a few years left in the game, so I want to be able to go in there and fight every one of them if possible.
Anybody in particular? Because that Verhoeven, he looks, I don't know, that he'd be a pretty formidable opponent for you.
Oh yeah, they all would. You know, no one's on that ranking through, you know, through their looks, or no one's on that ranking because of their name. They're all on there because of their fighting skills. So every one of the fighters on that list is going to be a formidable opponent. Maria Rico's a very good young fighter. You know, there's a few others on there that are going to be very strong, hard opponents as well. But at the moment, I'm just focusing on my next one, which is Glory 9 against Anderson Braddock Silva. I think he's ranked at number 9 or 8 or 9 on the Glory listing. So, you know, he's going to be a very tough challenge for me, but it's one that I know I can overcome. So I'm training hard for it, and then come June 22nd, I'll be ready to go to war. So I know he's going to be a very well-schooled fighter. I've seen him fight a few times, so I've seen what he brings to the table, and I'm quite confident that, you know, get my training on point, I'll be able to deal with him.
Your last opponent was a strong, rangy fighter. What is it that you know about Anderson Silva? I mean, what are you bringing to the table that you hope will, you know, obviously bring home the win?
I know Anderson Silva is a good combination fighter. He puts his combinations, you know, his hands and his kicks together in well. He's got a good work rate. He's a bit lighter than me, you know, so he will work for the whole three rounds. So I know for me personally, you know, I've got to be able to go the distance if need be, and being able to work at a good solid pace, because I know he's going to put a pace on and you know, try and drown me in deep waters. But, you know, I know my training's going well. Come June 22nd, I'll be ready to deal with that. You know, I'll swim with the sharks.
And also on the card, you've got a very exciting 8-man tournament. Is there anybody in that tournament that you've kind of like got your eye on in terms of, well, this guy's definitely going to take it?
I can't say anyone's definitely going to take it, because, you know, in tournament fighting, there is so much that can happen. I can imagine Tyrone Spong's going to be, you know, a huge favourite for it. But as I said, you know, three fights in one day, you can pick up a knock, an injury, anything could happen. You can get a cut in one of the earlier fights, or you may just actually have to fight, you know, three rounds plus an extra round in the quarterfinal, you know, a good solid three rounds in the semi-final. So by the time you get to the final, you know, it's anyone's game. You could potentially fight 10 or 11 rounds in one day. So, you know, tournaments are so, you know, so varied, anything can happen. You know, saying that, I can't personally see anyone beating Tyrone Spong on his day in that tournament, but you never know, it's a tournament and anything can happen.
Daniel Sam, thanks for joining on Striking Ability.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me on the show. If I could give a shout out to Arjan Vinny over at Muay Thai Masters Academy, Clayton at the Muscle Limit Gym, Khalid at Lion's Den Gym, all the guys down at Fight for Peace. Also a shout out to Amari Brown, sponsoring me as well. And thanks for all the help and support. I'll be putting on a good show for you guys again on June the 22nd.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
The feared striker Paul Daly joins me next. Known for his powerful hands, I caught up with him in Dubai, where he destroyed the BJJ black belt Rodrigo Ribeiro.
Well, basically, there's a situation going on. It's in the UK legal system at the moment. in relation to my visa. It's got nothing to do with a bar fight or anything of that sort. And there's just been some kind of mix-up with my visa, basically. I don't really know how to explain it, and I don't really know what I can say about it. But basically, in June, there'll be another hearing with regards to my visa, and once that's out of the way, I should know an exact date when I can get it back. I had a little break in, fights, basically. I had a delay on my visa still, and, knowing Tam from the UK MMA circuit, I knew he was a guy that I could trust. He came up with a good offer. He was willing to work with Bellator because Bellator got approval on my fights. And, it's Dubai. What isn't there to, what more can I say? It was a good choice, I think. Well, I've been in with a few striking first grappler situations in recent fights. I had Radev, who's obviously an Olympic level wrestler. Also Patrick Vallée over in Cage Contenders was a submission specialist, all his wins by submission. A few TKOs in there, but the majority by submission, sorry. And then a jiu-jitsu black belt. A reputable jiu-jitsu black belt. And I think it's good for me just to show that I can be in there with these specialists and still knock them out. So, yeah. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Jiu-jitsu black belt versus striker. Yeah, I think, people should never not be begging for fights. I think there's a lot of fighters that want to be active. Not only because they want to fight regularly, but of course because of the economic climate. They want to keep getting paychecks. These paychecks run out kind of quick, especially when you're paying taxes, you're paying your coaches, you're paying your manager. And, like I say, the recession is still alive and well. I think those guys are just hungry for the cash as well. But this is where I think Bellator is better. You've got guys in the UFC saying, I want to fight this guy so I can get a title shot. I want to fight this guy because I think it could lead to a title shot. Whereas in Bellator, no matter who you are, you could be a former, you could have come from the UFC, former champion. You could be a real, real big, respected fighter. Say Rampage joins you Bellator. He'll just go in the tournament with everybody else. So he's not going to have to call out his fight. No one calls out the fights. You prove yourself and you get the fights that you deserve. So, that's why I'm loving the Bellator format. No one is given a championship shot. You earn it. Yeah, everybody goes in the tournament, regardless of your reputation or your history. A guy who's 4-1 against, King Mo, or a guy who's, 10-0 against Rampage if he comes over. It's just a great way of proving your worth as a fighter and your worth as getting a championship shot, basically. Basically, I've got nothing against any of the UK guys or whatever. I respect everybody for doing what they're doing, but the light needs to be shone a little bit on the reality of things. And for number one, I'm definitely the most entertaining fighter. Number two, I finish fights all the time. I wouldn't have been able to survive. There's not many fighters, and I said this while I was with Strikeforce, there's not many fighters who could have left the UFC and still survived. There's not many a lot of fighters would be struggling. We're going back to Tesco's, I think I said that. No, Fight Fit magazine. And that's true. Look, I'm not in the UFC no more, but I'm surviving. You see, I'm here, I'm out on Dubai national television, fighting for the Sheikh. I was in Ireland, fighting out there. I've got other great fight offers coming up. And there's a lot of big fights that I've been offered that I've had to turn down. There's a lot going on. I'm in high demand. A South African reporter was here. She's here specifically for me, and guys are coming from all over the world to Dubai for me. And it's like she was saying, look, you're a big draw, and I haven't been in the UFC for however long, and I don't think there's many other athletes that could do that, especially UK guys. And I think people forget that, and I think people forget that when these guys that are now in the UFC doing what they're doing. When I was Cage Rage World Champion, when I was fighting for Cage Rage, when I'm fighting guys like Dave Strasser, these guys were in the audience asking me for autographs. And that's no lie, I'm not calling no names out, but they know who they are, and they're forgetting that. When I was in there fighting Mark Weir, fighting Dave Strasser, Luis Azevedo when he was with Pride, and fighting all these top talents, these guys were in the audience. These guys were queuing up to see me. These guys used to drive 3 hours to come and do seminars with me. Do you know what I mean? And people forget that these guys used to email me, can we come and join your training camp? And I come and stay at your house, you know? And I used to put them up. I used to let them stay with me, feed them, go out, spar, whatever. And then they get to a certain level and they forget that. They think that they're, all of a sudden, they're not that person when they are. And that's all it is. Shane Mills is a nice guy, and you know, I've said some bad things about him in the past. I've seen him at the Glory After show, and you know, I said hello to him, and it was all, you know, it was easy. There was no bad tension there. But Shane Mills, in all fairness, is not on my level. I don't believe he's on my level. I don't feel that he even. Every fighter deserves a fight, and then you can say, "Oh, why are you fighting Ribeiro?" Every fight has something to offer, you know. I'm not really a guy that picks and chooses my fight. If I get offered Shane Mills, the likelihood, if the money's right, I'll take it. But to be honest with you, Shane Mills isn't on my level. I don't see, the fight doesn't interest me at all. There's nothing for me to gain from this fight. And then you say, oh, fight Ribeiro. Ribeiro, for all his faults and his poor record, he's a legitimate jiu-jitsu black belt. So he has that to offer me. You know, I've knocked out, I've beat, I've hung in there on the ground, I've defended it, defended his belt, defended against a legitimate jiu-jitsu black belt. Shane Mills doesn't offer me anything like that.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
By fighting championships, Tam Khan is up next. He explains what sets his organization apart from the competition.
In the quiet words of the Virgin Mary, come again.
I mean, that myth. It's probably the propaganda of the media. Unfortunately, we live in a time where there's silly things happening around the world. The majority of those people are from a certain ethnicity. I'm Muslim, I'm a very proud Muslim, but I don't agree with certain things, but it's the media play up. Everyone who's in Dubai, they'll change their opinion. Dubai is such a multicultural city. There's more expatriates than there is locals, so that answers your question. I'm an expatriate, I'm British, you know what I mean? I'm a Muslim and I'm British, so Harry, my partner, who's born and raised here, is English. So, I mean, the rulers here want to, I mean, they're just amazing people. Their vision, what they've done with this country is just fantastic. And it's honestly, it's like my home to me. Like, I've been here for 5 years almost. Greatest times of my life. And it's not about the small things like money. It's just the lifestyle. The people here are so welcoming, the local community. And it's just a stigma. I mean, you saw the crowd. The majority of the crowd were expatriates, English, Australian, Brazilian. And look, everyone sitting together in one place, watching one sport and getting along. And I mean, I wish more of other countries in the world would take that kind of attitude towards things instead of having all this animosity. But MMA is growing, I think, and we are honestly paving the way. I think we are, I mean, ADFC, Randall's doing a great job. I honestly think in the event side of the things, we are leading the way. We've got the torch, as you say, in the Olympic torch. And we've put a barrier up and raised the bar today. I honestly believe that. And no arrogance there, I respect every show, but I honestly think today it was a major milestone in mixed martial arts history, in the future of mixed martial arts in the Middle East. Whatever happens with us and whatever things happen, people always remember that this show changed the landscape of the sport in the Middle East. I have nothing negative to say about any competition. Competition is great for the sport, it's great for everything. It keeps everyone on their toes and motivates you. I wouldn't even call Cage Warriors competition purely because their target and their mission in their company is totally different. They're international, they do more things. We're just Dubai. We just like to build the homegrown talent. And I'm a huge fan of Cage Warriors. I'd love to emulate that. I'd love to be like them one day. Ian Dean does a great job. I've known Ian for many years. Graham taking over. Great show, they've built some stars. So no, nothing but respect. I don't find their competition in it because they're from the UK base and they do other shows. So it's like saying UFC a competition. We're not on their level, and the UFC just come once in the blue moon to show here. You know, they kind of travel. So it's not competition at all. Competition would be ADFC, Desert Force, in our region, the Middle Eastern region, that's competition. And all of them, like Zed Mirrors at Desert Force does a great job. They've got their new reality show, very good show. Randall, ADFC's done a good job there. I'm a big fan. Albertal's a nice show. Recommend everyone to watch it. There's a few small shows popping up in Dubai. What differentiates us, and I'm a fan of all these, is I think that the whole team we've got is a great package. Like my partner Harry said, I'm more legit than most of the guys in those organisations because I come from a background of fighting, as you know. Not saying I'm some kind of anasaur, but I've been around the sport for over 10, 12 years. I've been around for the old days
and when it was so new into UK. So I saw it growing in the UK and how it worked. So I've brought that element here. And with that vision, I've got someone like Harry and Tom, especially Harry, who's got a business sense, who knows how to look for the, who can bring the money involved and just take care of the business side. I know it's a funny comparison, like the Dana and the kind of Lorenzo, not in a cheesy way, but it's like that. So my expertise on the fighters, what will work, what not, that base, it's got through fighting for many years and just being around people like Daniel Bazot and UWC, UC MMA, Cage Rage. The old days, I'm talking about when Ian Freeman was around, Lee Hasdell, like before, people seem to forget I was one of the first around in those days when Dan was just coming up, the Paul Cahoons as well. So I've seen it all develop. That's why I got Paul on the show. I've known Paul for years. Big fan, and like Paul said on the interview, I had to have someone like that because he's one of the reasons why we all got here in the first place, UK guys and like Daniel Bazot. So I like to give it back and always support. That's the way I've always had. It's not for me, it's to give back to all those guys who paved the way. And to have him was just amazing. And I think that differentiates, in this region, that differentiates us, I think. And I don't want to sound egotistical, but just my expertise in the subject and my experience is enough to like really like keep us at the top and take us to where we had today, purely because how to match make, just being a fighter, I can understand which styles go well. The kind of people, the UAE market would like to see, like Paul Daly. I've brought Rico and Stav before, I'm a huge fan of. Stav's my boy, but I don't think they appreciate it much because they're new to the grappling side of this thing. So when they see the grappling and clinching, it's kind of like monotonous and boring. But with Paul, you see what he gets. Semtex C4 is explosive. The crowd got on their feet. He got the finish of the night and the prize. So I think as a total package, we work well. Harry takes care of all the serious stuff, like I call it. I take care of mine. We've got Ari, who deals with like more of the like off, like the things what you wouldn't even see backstage, but without that it wouldn't work. And Tom, without Tom, we wouldn't have been organised straight up. It's like saying me, the guy does everything. He's like the dad. We call him like he organises everything. He does it, and it just, well, our brothers like them. We fight all the time. Everything's good, but at the end of the day, it all gets back to. At the end of the day, the finish article is always good. And like today, we had our first live stream, the first MMA promotion from the Middle Eastern region to do a live stream internationally. That's a lot of pressure. I think it went well. It started a bit hiccupy, but I mean, we're trying. And it's our fourth show. We've only been around for a year today, and look what we've done. And like thanks to God, I mean, not in an arrogant way, and I don't want to jinx it, but we've done really, really, in my opinion, very successful year.
Last but not least, here's the UFC's Bert Watson, one of the main cogs, in my humble opinion, in the UFC's machinery.
We rolling, yeah, all night long.
Usually when a guy gets the call to get a fight, he's either in the gym or he's preparing, because everybody knows now that when they get to this level, you got to know how to fight. Everybody at this level is technically sound, and everybody comes to fight. So when they get that call to come for the fight, they're already prepared for the fight. What I have to do is to take the little things out of the equation that they might worry about. You know, things like their dressing rooms and their workout gear and their workout equipment. All the little things that a fighter doesn't need to put on his head. Then I take those things out of the equation. I motivate fighters with my inspiration. I motivate them with, you know, the experience I've had and what I see that gives them a comfort level. Then fight night, like everybody else, you know, I'm nervous, I'm excited, and I'm ready to go. So I got to throw that energy and enthusiasm on them. And I do, baby, in my own little way. We roll it a whole.
Okay, it's over. The first episode of Striking Ability is done. Let me know via Twitter what you think, and I'll be giving away prizes from my good pals over there at Bad Boy Premium Apparel. So let me know. I'm on Twitter, @MikeMorganMMA. Until next time, be first.